Just want you to take a moment to imagine something. Just imagine that in a minute's time, every single person in this world will disappear. Today, the world's population is 7.98 billion, almost 8 billion people. Can you imagine? In a minute's time, everything in this world will vanish and you and your family are just alone. What would happen? Or can you imagine a world without internet? Remember, there was a few months ago, I think one of the major internet providers in this nation had an issue. And a lot of people were just complaining and they felt there was no life without internet. Can you imagine a world without electricity? Can you imagine a world, you know, without phones? I think many of us will say, you know, we are hooked to all these things. We need these things for our very existence in this world. And I was just trying to find out, you know, and in my readings, I realized if there is no internet, Facebook, Google, and even Amazon will go out of business by $440 billion each year. Can you imagine? That will be the amount of money they would lose. And, you know, we are so fortunate that we live in a country where we have access to high-speed internet, right? Everything is done through e-transfers, internet, and all this media. But do you realize that two-thirds of the world's school-aged children have no internet in their homes? There was a study that was done by UNICEF. You know, I'm just trying, making you to imagine if all these things are taken away from us, the things that we think that is essential for our living, electricity, power, right, phones, internet, and many of the things that we think that are essentials in our life, if these things are taken away from us, I think many of us will have difficulty, right? Or maybe it might be challenging for us to imagine a world without all these things. Today we want to look at a person called Noah. I think many of us have studied about Noah in our Sunday school, that Noah built an ark. Probably he did not know why God wanted him to build this ark. He built because he wanted to be obedient to God. During the time of Noah, there was no rain, but he built without realizing, you know, what is going to happen, but he just obeyed God. He yielded to the very words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so finally he built, and then he goes into the ark, as all of us are fully aware. If you look at the scriptures very carefully, you know, many scholars are of the opinion that Noah was in the ark for more than a year. Some say it's around 370 to 378 days. He was in the ark with his family, all together with 8 of them, not knowing what is happening. You know, maybe you might not like a theme like this on a Thanksgiving Sunday, but it's important for us to know that there are moments in our life that we think that God is not around, that God is not mindful of us, but God is so mindful of us, my friend, and we need to be found giving thanks to God. Let's pray and ask God to help us as we look to His Word. Father, we thank You for Your Word that is given to us, O God, that we have access to Your Word, that we can read, we can dwell on Your Word. We can devote ourselves to studying Your Word, O God. We are mindful of people in many nations who desire to read Your Word, but they're not given that privilege, O God, because of the circumstances they are in. They're deprived of Your Word. Or even coming together as a church family to worship You, Father, we are mindful of them too. We pray, God, that You will meet them and also meet us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 8, and we will look at the passage that was just read to us today. I believe all of us are familiar with the life of Noah. God called him, and these are some of the things that we will look. You know, one of the words that I realized, you know, can you imagine Noah was in the ark with the family, not knowing what is going to happen? If you look at the passage very carefully, you don't see God speaking to Noah. The last time that God spoke to him was in Genesis chapter 7, when God told him, God said to Noah, go into the ark and your whole family. And that was the first, the last words that Noah heard. Probably Noah was thinking, you know, God would speak to me when I'm in the ark together with my family, when things are not so good because there's a lot of rain, probably more thunderstorm, you know, rain is coming up. And definitely when many of us have gone on a cruise, you know, there are certain times it's not so stable. You ask yourself, what's happening, right? And am I going to go down? Probably he was just here waiting, Lord, what's happening, Lord? You told me to go inside the ark. Yes, for a few days, you know, we had a smooth sail, but looks like we are going into rough waters or rough sea. What's happening, right? Am I going to die? Did I make the right kind of decision? Probably, right? But you realize God did not speak to him according to the passage that we read in chapter 7 and chapter, you know, the entire 1 year, God was so silent. Probably, I think Noah would have actually prayed to God and not hearing anything from God. He'd have asked God, Lord, where are you? Lord, speak to me, O God. But there was almost entire silence if I look at Scripture very carefully. I believe, you know, Noah would have felt, right, would have felt a sense of relief when he was there in the boat. And sense of relief, first of all, I think he would have felt, you know, finally my family is saved. Thank God for that. Thank God we were saved. Others, you know, I do not know, but God was gracious enough that he saved us from the total, from the destruction that happened. Probably there was another emotion that was running in his mind, right? There is utter loneliness. Can you imagine a world with no people around? All the familiar places, the familiar things of my life have been taken away from me. I do not know where to go to. It's me and my family, and that's it. You know, can you imagine that kind of emotion would have gone into, he said, utter loneliness. You know, but I thank God for the word. I think when you look at Scripture very carefully in chapter 8, you know, it says, but God remembered Noah. That's a powerful passage that, right, God remembered Noah. And when I liked it because there are so many times in Scripture you will read that, but God. You know, when you look at the word very carefully in the Hebrew text, it means, when everything has failed, my friend, when the things that you long for have been taken away from you, when enemies are just surrounding you, are coming against you, my friend, you know, but God is still there. When every familiar thing that Noah experienced in his life was taken away, his friends, his relatives, his city, everything was taken away, but God was there for Noah. I think that is Thanksgiving, my friend. Even though there are things that can be taken away from us, but God's word reminds us, but God is there. That's so wonderful and comforting word that we see. You know, the first word we see, but God remembered Noah. If you realize, you know, it doesn't mean that God forgot Noah. You know, when we use the word remember, we always think that God has forgotten. That's the English language way of translation. But in the Hebrew text, it's totally different, my friend. It's not that God has forgotten. It means that God acknowledged. Because this God is an all-knowing God. He cannot forget anything. He knows everything before it happens. And so he acknowledged that Noah is still there. You know, in this particular time, I want to look at, you know, how does God show that he remembers Noah? And today, you know, there are moments in our life we think, you know, God has forgotten. God has been so silent, right? I've been just yielding to the words that he has told me. I've gone into the ark. I've been doing whatever he wants me. I've been praying, but I've not been hearing anything from God. I've, you know, I've been, you know, faithful to the task that is given to me. But I see that God has been so silent. Looks like he's taking away things away from me rather than adding things into my life. But how do we know that God remembers? First thing, and you know, I look at this passage, you know, I see the active providence of God, my friend. I think the first thing, we see God's active providence. Let's look at the verses that we just read today. You know, firstly, we see that God has control over nature. So in other words, when we say God remembered Noah, it doesn't mean that, you know, God has forgotten, as I said earlier. It means that God is making things work for Noah. In other words, he's planning things that Noah will have a safe journey. Noah's life would be further blessed. And so we see God's active providence. Firstly, we see God's control over nature. There are times I think we don't understand why God is doing, but God is doing things, you know, behind our scenes, my friend. Behind. We think, you know, God has been so silent. But look at the passage very carefully. God has been working for Noah's good. You read, let me not go deep into the thing. It looks, when you look at verse chapter 8, you realize that God sent a wind over the earth because the Lord knew it's now time for Noah and his family to come out of the ark. It's time for the ark to rest in a particular place. And so it is not just going to happen, my friend, but God is acting. We see the active providence of God. In deism, there's two kinds of thought that happens. Deism says that God created things. And then, according to their ideology, it means that God created and just God left it to the natural orders. But the Christian thinking is totally different, my friend. Christian thinking, you know, God created the everything, nature and everything. And God is also in control. And sometimes we may ask, why all the natural disasters? There are certain times that God allows certain things, but certain times there is a thinking in the theological circle, that's a secondary thought that God does. In other words, when nature or humans, you know, behave in such a way to the environment, there is always a cause and an effect. That happens. That is Christian thinking of what's happening in the world. And so in this particular passage, God is sending a wind to the earth and the waters receded. And then you also see that in verse 2, now the springs of the deep and the floodgates of the heavens have been closed and rain have stopped falling from the sky. So when you look deep into the passage, you know, it tells me that God is in control of nature. Maybe Noah was not, you know, was thinking, you know, Lord, what's going to happen, Lord? I've been just calling upon your name. I've not been hearing you. It had been raining for 40 days, 40 nights. It had been raining, Lord. And I do not know what is going to happen. But what is happening? God is working behind Noah, my friend, making things possible for him. And that is the active providence of God, my friend. There are things that you and I don't understand. But like Noah, we need to be faithful, just yielding to what God has to say. And so God is working behind. And secondly, when I look at this second active providence of God, God's control over the ark. I think many of you would have gone on a cruise ship. You know, it's wonderful to go on a cruise. I hope some of you are still planning to go on a cruise. If you have not, I would encourage you to go on a cruise. You know, it's a time. But do you know something? To bring the cruise to the harbor is a big task. You know, for us, you know, I've been in my country. Shipbuilding is one of the main economic growth that brings. And those days, and so I have read some things about dry docking. You know, it's when you look at, you know, dry docking, and you bring the ship to the dock to be repaired, or you know, to there are a lot of stages. You need to make sure, right, that there is stability, there is a docking plan, and you have to make sure the ship, you know, is stable without any issues, my friend. So when I was just looking at it, and I was telling myself, you know, it says that God controlled nature. On the seventh day, the ark came to rest. God was so precise. He knew exactly how, when it has to place, so that Noah and his family will safely come out, my friend. They would know, you know, we are safe. Everything is perfect. And we are finally here. You know, that I see the active providence of God in this particular passage, my friend. And so in the firstly, I realize, you know, when you look at Noah and his and the events that happen, sometimes we don't understand why there are so many calamities that is happening in the world today. Why there is so much of suffering in the world today. We hear of disasters here and there. Two things I realize when I look at this particular thing. Firstly, I see the holiness of God. We see that God is so holy, my friend, that He can't see sin. He can't see wickedness in front of His eyes. So many times when you see all this calamity, you see the holiness of God revealed because of how human life or humanity have been behaving towards Him. At the same time, I also see that all these things also reveal God's mercy, God's compassion, because He wants to save us from all these events. He wants to rescue us, and it also gives us an opportunity for Christians to respond with love, with compassion. And so how did God remember Noah? For the active providence of God, my friend. And so in your life, if you think, you know, God is so silent, but I've been faithful, I've been praying. But let me encourage you with the words of what God has spoken to Noah, that He is in control of what is happening around you. Even your surroundings, God is familiar. Even your friends, God is familiar. Even your environment is fully aware. He's working, He's working behind us. Secondly, when I look at this particular passage, I also see how did God remember through His providence. Secondly, I see that God's spoken word, and God gives him the word. You know, one interesting thing about Noah is whenever God spoke to him, he listened. He never questioned God. You read it in Hebrews chapter 11 too, when Paul writes about faith. When God told him to go into the ark, he went into the ark, right? When God told him, come out of the ark, he came out from the ark. Such a simple, obedient man. And that's why God, you know, honored him, and God took care of Noah in a very powerful and a special way. God spoke to Noah. And God knew when to speak to him. He spoke and Noah listened. He spoke and Noah listened. I think that's the thing about the thing that we see, how God remembers us. Even today, God speaks to us. But there are moments we don't, right? We read scripture and we think God is so silent. But there are moments God makes Himself much more clearer to us. And so the important thing is to be faithful. Just ready, Lord. Whenever you speak, I am ready to go. Lord, tell me your word. Give me your word, O God. And I'm just ready to do what you want. I think that was the desire. You know, Noah did not question God in any way. When God told him to go, you know, he did not say, Lord, how do I do not know. It's an unfamiliar ground, but he went. And God's word is so powerful, my friend. When I look at the words that God spoke to Noah, you know, God told Noah, right? Firstly, he said, be fruitful and multiply so that the creatures will also be fruitful and multiply. At the same time, in chapter 9, verse 1, he says, be fruitful and increase in number. Right? When you read that word, you know, yes, what it means. But what does it really mean? What is God trying to say? I think God is trying to say, Noah, there's going to be life again. There's going to be civilization again. Life is going to start again. And that's what God is trying to say. It's not just being fruitful, you know, civilizations will come. Cities will come. Life will come. You know, when things are taken away from us, my friend, we think that's the end of us. But God has a plan. God has a purpose. Probably Noah would have thought, you know, Lord, what am I going to do with my family? But God is saying, you're going to multiply, Noah. It means there's going to be life again. There's going to be generations again. After your name, there is going to be civilizations again. There is a purpose for you. There is a plan that I have for you and for your generations. That is the spoken word of God, my friend. Because this is a God that wants to bless us. I think in this note, I think we need to ask ourselves today. We have heard God's word many times, numerous times, in our daily readings, when we meet our friends. You know, at times their words becomes a word that God wants to speak to us. But I think it is important for us to ask this question. What you know God wants, but you're not doing. What you know that God wants in your life, but you are not doing, my friend. But Noah was a totally different man. He knows what God wanted and he was doing it. Go and he went. Come out and he came without question. And he just trusted the words of God. And I think today we are not left without any directions. Sometimes I ask myself, you know, why the Bible is so big, so many things, right? If it was like a pocketbook, it would be much more easier. Why there are so many chapters, so many events? You know, I realize, I think God has a purpose behind all this because life is so complex. There are so many things that happens in our life, right? And so there's always answer. In this person's life, through this person's life, through this event, through this incident, I think God knows that our life is so complex that He has written a book for us, my friend, that each and every one of us can find an answer. It's not five ways or three ways. Through history, He's talking to us. Through events, He's talking to us. Through lives, He's talking to us. Through teachings, He's talking to us. Through Proverbs, is encouraging us and motivating us because God knows where we are and what we need. And that is what He reminds me, that God remembers me. Today, God remembers you by giving you His word, my friend. God has not forgotten us. But whether we remember His word. Thirdly, let me finish with this. You know, lastly, I like Noah, great man of God. What did he do? The first thing, Noah, right? God wants fellowship with us. When Noah came out, if you read the verse very carefully, the Lord said, come, and Noah came. But if you look at the very passage very carefully, I want you to look at it, you know. Noah used in verse 16, when God, in verse 15, then God said to Noah, G-O-D. But then, when Noah came out in verse 20, he built an altar to, not G-O-D, it is L-O-R-D. Right? There's a difference in word. You know, sometimes you ask yourself, why did the author made a mistake? Was it a typo error? It was no typo error at all. It means when Noah built an altar, my friend, the word L-O-R-D, you know, Lord, means that this is a covenant God. This is the personal name of God. It means that God wants to have a relationship with us. Like we use our names. But in our homes, we say, I'm the father, because it's a relational word. And so Noah is not using the word G-O-D, God, Elohim, but he is using the word Yahweh. In other words, you know, he's saying, Jehovah, Lord, that this is a covenant God who wants to have a covenant relationship with me. He wants to associate with me. He wants to associate with humanity. He does not only see God as the creator, but God who wants to have a personal relationship with me. There's a shift in word, and it means a lot, my friend. And so Noah, what did he do? The first thing that Noah did, he came out. Can you imagine coming out from the ark after a year? What would we do? Probably some of us would be wondering, where am I? Right? Looking around, you know, and maybe there would be a lot of fear. What am I going to do? It doesn't look familiar to me. Looks like I'm lost in a wilderness, like a desert. I do not know. Probably we are going to die, kind of a thing. But Noah built an altar to God. You can ask my wife and my two daughters. One of the things we do when we go for holidays, every time we go for a holiday, for example, we are going to a particular place. Once we arrive, I'm not saying out of pride, one of the first things that we do, right, before we even go out and venture the place, we stand together as a family to thank God for the journey that He made it possible for us. And after saying the prayer, then we unpack our bags, because we want to be grateful for God for seeing us through in our journey. Every time you can ask them, right, we will make sure that we thank God. Because one of the things, that's a lesson that we learned from Noah. Noah immediately gathered his family together, right, instead of just wrecking the place, looking at the place, seeing whether, you know, things are around. No. The first thing, I want to build an altar. And this is the first time that you've ever seen the word altar in Genesis, my friend. He built an altar because he wanted to have a relationship with this personal God. I want to have this relationship with this God, because this God has saved me. This God comes first in my life. This God is my friend, my God, my companion. He is going to be with me. I think that is the first response of each and every one of us, my friend, building an altar to God and saying, Lord, I thank you. That's important, right? We respond by through worship. And, you know, I thank God that Noah sacrificed. Today we don't need to sacrifice, because Jesus gave himself for us and he has made a way for us. But the important thing I want to close today, it says in the words, you know, Noah sacrificed to God. The Lord smelled the pleasing aroma. In certain versions, you will read it as sweet aroma. What a powerful, you know, just by just that simple sacrifice, God was so pleased. What is that so great about that sacrifice? It's not different, you know, but God was so pleased. Can you imagine? God is the creator of the entire universe. He can do things beyond our understanding. But God is so pleased with this small thing, a minute thing, not even a minute thing, my friend. God is so pleased with the sacrifice. You know why? Because God saw the heart of Noah. That's important. If you look at Genesis, you'll also realize Adam and Eve got two sons, Cain and Abel. Right? But God, except Cain gave, Abel also gave. But God saw the heart of Abel. And that heart of Abel was pleasing in his sight. And today, I think we need to ask ourselves, is my worship acceptable to God? Is my singing acceptable to God? Is my praises acceptable to God? When I say thank you to God, do I know for sure that God has accepted my thank yous? Or God says, no, I'm not so interested. Let me tell you, God can say that, my friend. In Amos, you read that, right? In Amos chapter 5, verse 21, there are other passages where God says, I despise your religious festivals. Can you imagine God saying this? But whereas God accepted this sacrifice, it was not a festival, just a simple sacrifice by Noah. It was a sweet aroma in the sight of God. Even though you bring your burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. You, whatever you bring, though you bring choice fellowship offerings, I have no regard for them. He says, away with the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the music of your harps. God says, I don't like your singing because there's no heart in your singing. It's not pleasing to my ears. Today, my friend, we give to God, we give praises to God, we worship God in many ways, my friend. That's wonderful. But God sees the heart, and think God saw the heart of obedience of Noah. God saw the heart of faithfulness in the life of Noah. And that pleased him. That was a sweet aroma in the sight of God. Let me close, my friend, by saying, you know, God wants to have fellowship with us. But is our fellowship acceptable? Is our thanksgiving acceptable in the sight of God? Today, God remembers us. There are moments we might think, you know, God has forgotten. I've not been hearing him, but I've been so sincere. But God says, you know, I'm working behind. We see God's active providence. He's working behind the scene. He knows when the ark needs to stop and where and how. It takes a lot of planning. It takes a lot of effort. And God does it perfectly well, my friend. All alone, he does it. Yes, at the right time, God speaks. And like Noah, just waiting. Lord, speak, Lord. And I'm listening. And God's words are always promising, my friend. He says, I'll bless you and you will multiply. In other words, there will be life. There's a purpose for you, Noah. Not only your family, but through your family, I'm going to bless others. I'm going to bless civilizations. I'm going to bless empires. And lastly, I think God realized God wants to have a fellowship, my friend. This Creator God wants to be our personal God. He wants to have a relationship with us. But today, is my thanksgiving acceptable in the sight of God? Over like Amos, the Lord says, I hate. Right? I don't accept your offerings. Away with the noise of your songs. I will not listen. Let's pray. What a comforting word to know that God remembers us, my friend. Not that he has forgotten us, But God acknowledges where we are in our life. One of the things that we learn is to be obedient. At all times, at all seasons, in all circumstances. Because God knows when, how, and what we need. And this God wants to have a personal relationship with us. He wants to be the Lord that we can associate with, my friend. Father, we thank you, Lord, for remembering us, O God, even today. You have never forgotten us because you're an all-knowing God and an all-powerful God. Help us, Lord, not only in this Thanksgiving Sunday, but to remember you at every moment of our life. Like Noah, God, we pray that our lives, our deeds, will be sweet aroma in your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.